Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for consideration today is written in the book of John, chapter 17. We read there verses 11 through 19. Jesus is speaking. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Here ends our text. Jesus' name, our exalted Savior, dear Christian friends, as mentioned before, last Thursday was a very important date on the Christian church year calendar, the day that falls exactly 40 days after the Lord's resurrection, when Jesus, in full view of his disciples, on a particular mountain of Galilee, went up into heaven to the right hand of God. Also, according to his human nature, he took up full use of his divine powers and prerogatives, which he possessed with the Father and the Holy Spirit from all eternity, having successfully brought to completion the mission that his Father had given him to do for us of reconciling us to our God. Question: what is Jesus doing for you right now? Well, the Bible reveals that as our heavenly prophet, he continues to send out his representatives to proclaim the good news of salvation, people like, as we heard, pastors, teachers, missionaries. He continues to bless his Christians as they carry out the ministry of the keys, that they might work together to arrange for the spread of the saving gospel here in the world. As our heavenly King, he is using his power, God's right hand, to protect us, having conquered the devil and having broken the stranglehold that he had upon us through sin and death. He is using that power to extend his spiritual rule of peace to other hearts through the proclamation of his gospel word, and making sure also in the physical world that all things are orchestrated in such a way that they serve for the eternal blessing of his people, his church. And as our heavenly priest, Jesus is now representing us before his heavenly Father. He's serving as our mediator before the tribunal of supreme justice in heaven. You can think of Jesus on the day of his ascension as entering into the holy place of God's presence with his blood, which is now crying out for you daily for your pardon. And the heavenly Father, for Jesus' sake, lays his anger by and confers upon us on a daily basis the precious gift of his forgiving love. Now, that we might be bolstered in our Christian hope, and in the certainty eventually of our own eventual ascension into heaven. I invite you to consider with me a very special facet of Jesus' ongoing service to us as our ascended Lord, and that is his praying for us. Is praying that God's word will protect us from the evil one, and that his word will also then consecrate us for service in his kingdom. Now, the words that I shared here in our text actually take us back before Jesus' ascension, before his resurrection, before his crucifixion. He's with his disciples in the upper room the night before, and it was at this time that he informed them in simple words, plain and clear, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world, and again I now leave the world and I'm going back to the Father. And then he lifted up his eyes in prayer to his Heavenly Father. He prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And now we want to focus on the words of this prayer that come next, which are drawn from our text, where Jesus said, Holy Father, keep through your name those you've given me. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Isn't that a glorious truth for you and me to ponder on and thank God for? That on the night before his departure to the cross, Jesus poured out his soul in prayer for his disciples then and us, his disciples today, asking his Father to safeguard our faith, to let nothing overturn it, nothing allow it to cause us to be detoured from the road that leads to our heavenly home. It's a glorious truth and a comforting one because, as we all know, there are so many things that could trip us up in our faith and block the way our continuing on to the road to heaven. The devil is trying mightily, Jesus refers to him here as the evil one, to utilize every tool in his diabolical arsenal to divert us from that heavenly road, to chip away at our faith ever so gradually, and then finally topple it. Among these dastardly tools in his diabolical arsenal are the ungodly philosophies and the unspiritual attitudes, the earth-centered, creature-centered, short-sighted mindset that pervades our society. There's that philosophy of what's called secular humanism, which is woven into the very fabric of our American culture, which believes that there's no supreme being, no creator. The world that we live in evolved. We are all here by accident. Man is not the pinnacle of God's creation, a special creature distinct from the beast fashioned in God's image. He's just the most highly developed animal. And since there's no God, no creator, well, there's no objective moral absolutes or standards for our living, and everyone can just live as they want to, as they deem best, or as the society thinks is best. And There's no heaven or hell. And of course, with the devil at the heart of it all is this: there is no need for a Savior to descend from heaven to redeem you from your sin guilt and then provide you with the gift of His holiness and life eternal through faith in His name. That's the world we live in. That's the culture that we're a part of, we and our children. Think how science and nature programs you watch on TV, how that comes across. About a month ago, I was a visitor at the Denver Science and Museum near downtown Denver. And I said to myself, I wonder how long it's going to take for me to walk in here and read something about evolution. It was the second thing I read on the wall. And just last week, there was a TV ad having to do with dogs, which spoke about how they evolved, poking fun at what the Bible plainly teaches about the origins of our world. Also think about how the entertainment industry produces material for our consumption that entices believers in Jesus to think and to live as they do. To live just for the pleasure you can get out of this life and regard things like Bible teaching, family devotions, the Christian upbringing of the young, the words of eternal life that are shared on a Sunday morning at church, as something that you can just brush off as unimportant. The good news that God loved the world so that He gave us His own Son, that believing Him we might live forever. What application, what relevance does that have for my life in the real world? The thought goes, as if this were the real world that we're going to be in forever. That's what we're up against. Jesus knew it. And that is why in His Savior love and loving concern for our eternal welfare, on that night before He died, He prayed for us. And He continues to pray for us as our ascended Lord today. Holy Father, keep through Your name those whom You've given me. I do not pray that You should take them out of the world, but that You should keep them from the evil one. Just as He prayed for Simon Peter when Peter boasted, there's no way I'm ever going to deny You, Lord. Even if everybody else runs away, I'll die with You. I'm strong enough. Jesus told him, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Jesus offers up the same petition to His Father for each one of us, His children today. And notice too, dear friends, how Jesus in His prayer to the Father that night made reference to the special tool that God uses to keep us strong in our faith. When He said, Holy Father, keep through Your name those whom You've given me. One of the questions that we spend a fair amount of time on with our children in catechism class in connection with our study of the second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, and the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be Thy name. What is God's name? The answer we help our children to know from the Bible is, of course, God's name is every expression that He uses in the Bible to refer to Himself, like God, Lord, Jesus, Emmanuel, Savior, Holy Spirit, and so forth. But that God's name also includes everything that He tells us about Himself in His Word. And so the Bible is God's name. And so when Jesus prayed that night that His Father keep us, protect us from the evil one through His name, He was praying that His Father would use the Bible, His Word, to protect us. Which points up the importance of our using the Bible, of staying in touch with the Bible all through our days in this world. More important than work, school, sports, Recreation, as important as those things are, and they have a good place in our lives too, the most important thing of all, the one thing needful, is to faithfully utilize the tool by which our Father defends us from the onslaughts of the godless world, the Bible, His holy word. Today, of course, is Mother's Day. A good day to be reminded of the blessing, as we mentioned before, of Christian mothers and the wonderful truth that God works to keep our children safe in His care through mothers who faithfully teach their children the Word of God. We thank God for Christian mothers who train their children up to know Him as their Savior and to inculcate in them also by their godly example a love for God's Word. And you children should think of your mothers as being among God's most precious gifts to you, which He uses for your spiritual welfare. Just like the Lord used Jochebed. You know who Jochebed was? Not a very common name. She was the mother of Moses. During the years that Moses was growing up in Egypt, the childhood training she received from his mother Jochebed was such that all the years of training that he received in Pharaoh's court as a young man couldn't obliterate it. Moses was enabled to stay faithful to the Lord in that idolatrous country and become one of the greatest leaders that God's people have ever known. Eunice and Lois also come to mind. That was the mother and the grandmother of Timothy, who handed down the heritage of faith to their little son and grandson, concerning whom Paul writes in his letter, the second letter to Timothy, "I've been reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded now also lives in you." Stories like these, like Jochebed, Lois, and Eunice, they serve as a great comfort also to mothers, fathers too, but especially we think of our mothers today, as you train up your little ones for the Lord, so that when the time comes when they have to go out into the wild and woolly world on their own, a world that is full of evil, they will be kept safe by the power of God, by the power of God's name, His word that you have taught them. Passages like, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches," said the Lord. "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Passages like Psalm 119, 103 to 105. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Or Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Let's also consider that other comforting truth this morning conveyed to us by Jesus in this text. He, our ascended Lord, prays also that God's word, God's name, may consecrate us for service in his kingdom. In his prayer to his Father that night, he said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you, Father, sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." That word sanctify is a very special one, very, very meaningful one. What the word sanctify means in its basic sense is to set apart for a holy purpose. So when Jesus prayed, sanctify them by your truth, Father, your word is truth, that they might be sanctified by the truth, he was asking his Heavenly Father to use his word to equip and to empower his disciples then and us today for the special assignment that he gives to us of spreading his gospel good news. His prayer is answered whenever our Heavenly Father causes the light of salvation in Jesus, which he shined upon us, to be reflected through us to other people. When you're led by the Holy Spirit to share the good news of Jesus, why he's so special to you, with the people that you know. When you speak to others about the wonderful things he's done for you in your life, the gift that he's given you of the forgiveness of all of your sins, the assurance that he's orchestrating God's right hand, position of great power, all power, orchestrating everything in the world and in the universe and in your life individually for your everlasting benefit. His promise that he's accompanying you daily with his strengthening presence. The hope of your own eventual ascension into heaven through faith in his name, to the mansions he's gone to prepare. As you serve him with your time and talents in the congregation, participating in voters' meetings as men, because you know that Jesus' work is being conducted there and you want to support it. When you serve him as a member of the ladies' group, teacher of Sunday school, when you reflect your love for your Savior in your relationships with your family members and friends, loving them as he has loved you, when you sing, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments, my days, let them flow. Ceaseless praise. As you do these things, according to the power, the inspiration that the Holy Spirit provides through God's name, through his word, your Heavenly Father is answering the prayer that Jesus is offering up for you before his heavenly throne. So, dear friends, praise God. Praise God for your Lord and Savior. Glory be to Jesus who redeemed you to be his by his blood and who now, as your ascended Lord, is praying for you daily that his Heavenly Father might use his word to protect you from the evil one and to consecrate you for a life of joyous service in his kingdom until that day arrives when you ascend to be with him. Amen. May the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.